Take a look at the Mishnah in the beginning of the third parak of Masechet Sukkah. What Luch HaGazel? Correct. It's worthwhile to note that we call them Masechet Sukkah, when only two of the brachim are talking about the Sukkah. The last two talk about Lulav, and the fifth talks about it's a Mikdash stuff, and whatever it is. It should be called Sukkah, something like that. Yeah, it's interesting. Is Sukkah the most important thing? I don't know. Okay. Sometimes you have that, you know, it's the sack is named after the object, for example, Megillah. But sometimes it's not. Rosh Hashanah, for example, is named after that shofar. It's named after the, it's worthwhile to think about when Zalbatai is ready to come back. In any event, take a look at the first Mishnah Lulav HaGazel. We'll read the Mishnah briefly, part of it, we'll take a look at the first Rashi, which is really what I want to focus in upon. I want to speak about, in general, the nature of the Dalet Minim, and I think most of it is, a lot of the great ideas are couched in this one Rashi. So, the Mishnah says as follows, Lulav HaGazel V'Yavesh Paso. The Mishnah continues to list off many other potential psalim from a lulav. It shouldn't be stolen, it shouldn't be dry, the next one is Shalash Sheira, Shalir Aydach, Hasn Nifdamro, Shalim Nifdusuallah, all these are Paso. And then some of the cases if we do all of his kosher, and then what about all these cases of dinim of a lula? Take a look at Rashi, the first Rashi, lula hagavu, lula kafshel timarin v'hadratani hadas v'arava v'abe nashayu. How many points is Rashi making over here in Divrei Mashma lula hagavu? Lulav said, Lulav HaGazel, Rashi says, Kafshel Timarim, V'Hadar, Tani Babinav, Tani each one Babinav Shadu. How many points is Rashi making? Two. What's the first one?
What it is.
What is a Lulav? Rashi tells me it's Kafos Timarim. Point number two is the one that really interests me, which is what?
Later on, we'll teach each one separately.
Correct. We'll get back and teach the other ones separately. Good. On the second half of Rashi, this line of V'hadar Tani Hadas V'arava Babin Avshayhu, there are two important points to be made. One is a very, very subtle but obvious point, which is ironically, you'll notice it. You may not get it in the beginning, but once it tells you, like, how did I not get that problem? And number two is a point that a brisker would think of, a point that I'm going to mention, but not necessarily a kasha, but a worthwhile observation or question to ask. Rashi says, V'hadar v'tani what? Hadas and Arava. What does Rashi leave out? Esrog. It's so surprising, isn't it? V'chora, if I were Rashi, I would have either said nothing or I would have said we'll teach all of them. Rashi was bothered. Hey, the Mishnah only wrote Lula. It doesn't mention Hadas and Arava. So, I'm not sure I would have even been bothered by the fact that it only mentions lulav and each of the dalet minim is mentioned separately. I'm not sure that really bothers me. But if it would have bothered me, well, certainly it would have bothered me that Esrog wasn't mentioned there as well. It's almost shocking that it bothers Rashi, but what bothers him is the fact that Hadas and Arava are not mentioned. But Esrog, of course, didn't belong there. And the question now that I'd like to ask is twofold. The questions I'd like to ask are two. Question number one, why does Rashi think Esrog does not belong in his Mishnah? Why is Esrog different? What is going on with Esrog in general? And the other question is, what's the Havamina, what's the Maskana? Apparently Rashi thought that there's a very good reason to put all the Dalet Minim together, at least Gimel of the Dalet Minim together in this Mishnah. Meaning Rashi thinks, again, we'll have to leave why Esrog is separate, disconnected, we'll get back to that. But we'll start with this question, which is, why was Rashi so convinced that if you're going to mention all the dinim of Mishnayis, you should really have all Dalet Minim together? Don't only mention Lulav and Hadas and Arava. You got to put them all together. And Rashi explains, no, don't worry, you know, we'll get back to the other dinim later on. What was the Havamina of Rashi that all of them had to be listed here? What was the Maskana of Rashi? What's the Svar for the Maskana? No, they can be done separately. Nobody is kind of fat to ask this question on your own. Why would you think that they all belong in the Mishnah, and potentially why not?
No, just three of them
together. We'll get to that. You're answering why the three of them are not Esrog.
Because
Yeah.
We'll get to that question later on.
But there is that reason why they should be together. Isn't it? They're the one unit.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. It's all going to tie in, and we'll develop a little bit more together in a second. Leaving the Esher point for a second aside, seemingly, there is a very good reason to put all the Dalamim together in this Mishnah. Seemingly, they're all fundamentally linked. They're connected. They're bound together. You know, that they're very much intrinsically connected. And what's the Maskana? Either that they're not so connected, or maybe they are connected. Well, that's the first one. They're not so connected. They stand by themselves. Each one has an independent value. That's one option. Or, although they are fundamentally connected, still, there are technical reasons why we have to separate the Mishnayos. For example, there are certain things about a lulav that doesn't exist by the other ones. For example, the shear of three tefach, for example. An esrog is going to have other dinim which don't apply to a lulav. Haravas are going to have all sorts of dinim that don't apply to each other. Esrog has shel arla, shel truma to meya, shel truma to hora, all these dinim. You wouldn't find that by the other ones, because it's totally not relevant. You'll see when you get to hadas. So hadas has all sorts of other things. Anava, maruba, me, olav, etc., etc. How many berries does it have, and how many how many leaves does it have? And therefore, fundamentally, maybe there's nothing changed in the maskana. Nothing is different. They really are a connected unit. They're all linked. However, there are technical reasons. And again, the Havamina assumes that they're fundamentally linked. Kamash Milan, you're right, they're fundamentally linked, but you can't put them together, or Kamash Milan is fundamentally different. In other words, and this is a great way you can answer any question. Aren't they all fundamentally linked, and therefore shouldn't they be together? The answer is, no, they're not fundamentally linked, or although they're fundamentally linked, that doesn't necessarily mean they are together. Which one does Rashi conclude? I don't know from this Rashi, I wouldn't necessarily know. There's a Rashi in Menachos that may indicate otherwise, we'll see. And again, there are two ways of learning the Maskana. This could be really important, Chakira, specifically by Dalamin, and maybe in general. How interrelated are the Dalamin? One could have gotten an extreme approach, and I don't think anyone suggested, that there are four different mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of Lulav, there's one mitzvah of Hadas, there's another mitzvah of Arava, there's one mitzvah of Esrog. There's four independent mitzvahs. I don't think anyone goes that far. At the end of the day, because you have to lift up all four, and then if you don't, in other words, L'kichatama at first glance means you have to look them all up together. And therefore, I don't think anyone's going to go that far, but I would like to, I made the point anyway that maybe, theoretically, one could suggest they are four different mitzvos for two reasons why. Number one is the Gemara on Laman Chesed Beis is just before the Mishnah, which says, Amar Rav, lulav b'yamin v'esrog b'smol, my time, why do you have lulav in your right hand and esrog in your left hand? Hani t'lav mitzvos, hani chabim mitzvah. What does that sound like? There are three mitzvos, but esrog is only one mitzvah in your left hand. Now again, the lashon seems to indicate that way, but at the end of the day, I just think that means three parts of a mitzvah. I don't think it means three mitzvahs. It means three chetzah mitzvahs. I don't think it means three mitzvahs much. The second reason why I threw out this possibility, even though I don't think it's true, is because, in general, this is a fundamental question to ask in learning. Anytime you ever have a mitzvah with several parts, one should ask, are they 49 different nights of Sfiras HaOmer, or one mitzvah with 49 different parts? That's a major machlokas rishon. The Prima Gadol has a discussion because machlokas we could have. Kriyat Shema, the night of Kriyat Shema in the morning, is that one mitzvah or two? That's machlokas the Rambam and the Ramban. Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh, one mitzvah or two? That's machlokas the Rambam and the Ramban. Karban Tamid Shel Shachar, Karban Tamid Shel Bein Harabayim, one mitzvah or two? Machlokas the Rambam and the Ramban. And therefore, my point is that anytime you ever have a situation like this, four mitzvahs, are they four parts? Are they really four different mitzvos or one part? Now, I don't think anyone's going to take the extreme version that they are four different mitzvos, but that doesn't mean that they're all, there's plenty of room between four independent mitzvos and one halachic entity. There's a gray area in between, and that's really what we're discussing. Is it one entity, or is it the gray area in between, which is something along the lines of, although they are one mitzvah, there is no halachic value to each independent mitzvah. Or is there? There's no halachic independent value to each mitzvah that they are four mitzvos, but that doesn't mean that there's no value at all. Or I would say, are they four chetzah mitzvahs, or are they one chetzah mitzvah? If you'd have an arava without the other three partners, is there any value to that at all? And that, l'chora, would be the two ways of reading the Maskarat of Rashi. Now, in terms of nafkamina, I'm going to get to several of them, but I'll take your question first. Yeah.
Just
on
the same time.
No, no.
Do they switch off?
Yeah, tefillin, I think they switch. In other words, the Rambam writes that Kriyat Shema and Parvat Kamishal Shachar is that one mitzvah with two parts, one tefillin and two mitzvahs with one part, and the Rambam flips it around. If you're interested in why that's the case, remind me after that. Two theories and methods of Rabbah Shabbat about that also. Okay. So there's a machlokas and the Tosis and that Lamedal and Amadeh, it's an important machlokas. Between Tosis and the Bahab, the Rambam takes a position as well, but Tosis and the Bahab. But the Gemara says it should be Shetehei L'kicha Tam. Let's say a person lifts up, and doesn't need all four minim. Let's say a person lifts up each min independently. First he lifts up a Lulu, puts it down. Then he lifts up an Arava, puts it down. Then he picks up an Eshrik, puts it down. Then he has a Hadas, or two at a time, two now and two late. Have you fulfilled the mitzvah of Dalet Min? Do they have to be lifted up simultaneously, or is subsequently a subsequent lifting good enough? That l'chor depends on our kahira, right? In other words, are they only a chetz and mitzvah when they're one together? Or are they, or is there an independent halachic weight for each of them? It's not focused. The Bahag versus Tosis. The Bahag, you have to lift it all at the one time. And that's probably the mashmos from Rashi and the Nafim as well. Tosfos, I think, in the Rambam as well. If I'm not mistaken, I didn't look at the Rambam. I forgot where the Rambam goes. I remember he takes a side in this issue. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember where he goes. Tosfos says, no, you can lift it up one after another. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't have to be all at one time. Right? There's the Bahag, the Parish Bahag. Ein ma'akvin, what does that mean? The low tema achinag miru hu ma'adi adabi. Elei ma'adi akol chad v'chad v'chudei shach. I'm sorry, I mixed it up. The Bahag says you can lift up each one at a time. And Tosha says, no, you have to lift it up at one time. I apologize, I mixed it up. I'm sitting on the left side right now. But it's my focus, Tosha and the Bahag. Now, the Chor depends on our question.
If you were to figure out, you would hold.
Like the Bahag. Like the Bahag. Yes, I got that. I think, yeah, no, the Queen of Bahag looked up one of the panels. I think Rashi is mashed by Menachos, but we'll take a look at Behar. It's a longer discussion about the commission of Menachos and how he learns it. Now it's the same way the Bahag learns it. Rashi doesn't make the comment explicitly, but I think it's more like the Bahag. Tosis is cash, Bahag, listen to this question. Temahu Lomar. Temahu Lomar Tain. The cave of the Kuhu mitzvah achas, heich yo ilu bezeh achar zeh. What does that sound like? Not only is it one mitzvah, but it's one chetza. Of course it's one mitzvah, it's one chetza. How could it even be that you lift it up in Zarka Zahayitafi? Okay. The truth is, it's an unbelievable sheep in Tosis and Menachos on Daf Bav Zayin. Tosis, and you've learned Lulav HaGaz, you know that Tosis in the bottom of the page, and Chayin HaKav Tess at the bottom, is dealing with the problem, or question, rather, how does the Mishnah know which Pesulim are for the first day, which are for all 7 days? Which is Arayis, which is Arbanan, how do we know? For example, Lulav HaGaz is possible all 7 days. A Chaser may be only possible for one day, missing Lulav HaGaz. There's a whole discussion which psalm go which ways. Shaul is only the first day, etc. How do you know? So Tosfos entertains the possibility of the Sechet Sukkah rejection. Tosfos and Menachos seems to be accepted. And maybe it depends upon which word you learn it at, you learn out the din from, which word the pasuk you learn out the din from. Meaning, as follows. Ulakachtem lachem hayom harishon. Things that are learned from ulakachtem, the word lachem, only apply on the yom harishon. But everything else, the pasuk applies to all 7 days. And that's why lachem is only has to be yours the first day. Again, Gizel is a problem in the mitzvah of Abba Beira, but in terms of Lachem, Elo Shal HaShaul, owning it, having Lachem, Mishal Lachem, owning it, that's only the first day. So Tosfos over here rejects it because he thinks it's crazy, because what Lachem teaches you two things, L'kicha L'kol Achav Yachad, how do you know that every person in the world needs a Lulav? The answer is, Lachem. There's no way that's only the first day. And furthermore, Lachem means the L'kicha Tama. It requires each and every person to have all four meanings. L'kachtem, l'kichatama, you have all l'kichatama, completely l'kichatama, you can't just look at some of the meat. So Tosfos says, you would draw unbelievable conclusions if you thought that any din learned out from the words l'kachtem and l'kachtem would mean only the first day. You know what you would think? You'd end up with an unbelievable conclusion. You'd think, one person can lift up only an Arab and he'd be upset. There's a machlokas girsos in Menachos, but Tosfos there either believes that you only have to lift up one of the four meat of days 3 through 7, or one person in all of Klal Yisrael has to lift up one of the meat of days 3 through 7 in your Yotzei. Therefore, if Dov Levin lifts up an Arava, day 3, all of Klal Yisrael's Yotzei Dalad Min. Crazy. That's what Tosfos in Menachos writes. Not the first day, but the Yom HaRishon. There's a lot of things that are fascinating about this Tosfos, but for our purposes, l'chore, if you lift up just an Arava, just a Lulav, just a Hadas, any one of the four meanings, you have to build what? Your chiyuv. That's indicative of the fact that there is intrinsic halachic value in each independent name. You don't have to say there's only a chef tzahmitz when all four are combined. Rosh Menachem is not combined. Tosfos here rejects it. My focus today is Tosfos. Tosfos in Sukkah rejects it. Tosfos in Menachem accepts it. Not unbelievable Kiddush Tosfos. Two unbelievable Kiddush if you have that here, so. But the important one for us is that if you looked at 1 minute, that's good enough. How? Because each minute is a chef tzahmitz that has intrinsic value. Not that only when they're combined together is there intrinsic value. The non-believable sheet of the Meiri. The Meiri writes in Sukkah, when you looked up all four meanings, how many brachas do you make? Looked up independently, four different brachas. If I looked up one at a time, assume the Baha'i is looked up one at a time. If I looked up all four one at a time, I make four different brachas. And the Ramah passing that way the halacha as well. And the Taz has even stepped further. The Taz writes, but let's say I looked up all four meanings, and it turns out three of the meanings of Gosha, but my Hadass and Mufasa. So two interesting questions that come up. Question number one is, now that I looked up three of the meanings, should I look up the fourth one only, or should I look up all four? What's my chiyuv? In other words, if I looked up all four together, and three of them were kosher, and one of them was not, and my Arabic were, my Hadassim rather were dry, and my Arabic were dry, Arabic was the one that can function the rest of it. Let's say I have a bit, you know, one time I look around and show people like, you know, borderline, some guy's mom, she got like two sticks left, you know, maybe a little bit crust, and I went to the Arabic, and totally bust. So it's a yotzei. He's not yotzei, he's a little bit of a priest. Now he has to lift up an Arava, a kosher Arava. Do you have to lift up all the meaning or only an Arava? So, if you believe that there only is halachic weight lifting them up all four together, then for sure you have to do that. I don't know if anyone suggests only lift up an Arava. I think most of the posts suggest lift it up together. But it could be, halacha might be short, but it could be because the kosher should be the sheep and that particular point has any value. What Arava would you make? If you had to guess, if you looked it up, three meanings.
You made a bracha.
You made a bracha. I don't see the lulav. Now you put the lulav down. You don't give up. I didn't lift up an arava. So we passed, you should lift up all four meaning again. What bracha would you make the second time? Or would you make no bracha? We passed, you make a bracha. What bracha would you think you make? That's what the Taz writes. I would have thought I don't see the lulav because the arava was possible. I didn't do anything until now. I would have made you lift up an arava. Look, the bachar, I did nothing then.
Sorry, I
made a bracha. Yeah, right. Yeah, that's it. Right. The answer says the Taz is no, you make now it feels Arava. So A, X and the fact that there is a Brahma called Alephis Arava shows us that what? The Taz like that. That there is intrinsic value to an Arava by itself, and it's important halacha because it shows you that, I guess, Nikar Adin somehow along the line, now Yotze, the other, I don't know exactly the story, but maybe because I was Yotze, the other three is really different that we followed, looked at the Zahar, and the point is you're making a Brahma on the Arava, which shows that there's intrinsic value to that. And again, this is a major question. Is there intrinsic value to the meaning by themselves or only together? And if there is value, how much? Enough to lift it up alone with hakila, only b'di'evet, would you make a bracha? And therefore, again, the two extremes. When you ever wonder why hakilas come up, always in groups of two. Why is it, if it X or is it Y? Why is it a hakila? It's two parts, two studies.
I think it's minimum, so you got three.
You ever see that? They are four independent things, four of the wrong ones. And the truth is, this is the simpler theory. The more sophisticated one is the one where you have all the passive nodes and male. And there are several possibilities, but the extreme is the truth one. Therefore, no one's going to suggest it's four separate mitzvahs. That is too far off. That's off the charts. But the question is, is it one mitzvah with four chetzes? What is the status of different chetzes? There are all sorts of shades of gray in between, and that we're trying to deal with here. Some person will say, you can do one at a time, the Baha'i. Some people say, you should be the evidence of that. Some person will say, you do make a bracha. And therefore, these should be some of the issues that would show how much independence weight each of the dalit mean in hand. And therefore, I think that's potentially the happening of the Maskar. The happening is that there's so much intrinsically linked that they're one unit, Kamashmalah, and that's true, but technical issues work, Kamashmalah, they're different units.
So,
and that takes care of halacha l'maaseh, it's probably not what the poskim, which way the poskim go.
I don't think we actually go to any year.
We miss the formats of the extreme, we don't go to a particular year. But there may be some people who believe that, you know, there's only halacha that we have them all put together. At the end of the day, poskim's right to be looked up. Poskim's over here, it's still correct to be looked up. The Zach has that yahoo, they have the old one time. I would love, I don't know. But it would not surprise me if you believe in Patrick Case making Rav Malkila's rules. We did nothing until now. That would not surprise me. That's what I would suggest. If I had to guess, I would suggest, post please. His lush was, hey, you can be happy to be up there, what the Zach has said. He was looking at a puzzle as a Rava. You're not Yosei. Ms. Stomatosis would suggest, I can get, I don't know. Or they all died quite a chance there, so I'm going to push them. I get push them. I know men when I send it when I start having to sleep in my studio that I can do it tonight. So I'll ask folks the question, what do you mean? What would you do if you, let's just, in the time of case, what would you do? What would the halacha be? Okay. And that takes us to the first half, which is, what's the interconnection of the Dalai Lama? Are they one unit, or are they independent? They have some halacha way here that make it independent. And that's really good. That's what you're having my skirt, but I don't understand why Esther wouldn't exclude. The truth is, you get the impression Esther is somehow different. And Billy pointed out the obvious. Well, number one is Esther is held in a different hand. You put three in your right hand, or at least righty here, and the lefty puts you put the lulav in your left hand, right? And your Esther is in your right hand. But the point is, they're in different hands. Correct. The rest of us have our hands. I sit on well when I'm worried about too much. Okay, the rest of us, have our hands good enough to flip either hand. Okay, anyhow, the point is, egging, there's a bit of egging. It's tied up together. That's only the three meanings. It's only the rule of Adat and Rabbi. Give the question differently. Furthermore, you look at the most obvious distinction. Three of them are branches, and one of them is a fruit. That's like the most obvious distinction. The truth is, these two groups may come back to the pasuk. What the pasuk said? We will pass the lachem by Yom Harishon. Half three eight hazar, half was kamar. Vana beit avod barvinat. Four things: esrog, lulav, hadas, arav. How many vavs would you expect to be between these three, these four things?
It should be three.
It should be three or one. It should be one and two and three and four, or one, two, three, and four. What's shocking is it's one, two, and three, and four. You get the impression Esrog is its own category, number one, and then there's another group of two and three and four. And that's a beautiful indication from the Chumash itself that there are different groups, and the Gemara actually picks up on that and learns it in from that. What does it learn? That Egyet have to be three together and the Esrog is separate. And therefore, this technical halacha may not be so technical. A halacha that's supposed to have three branches and an Egyet and an Esrog different may be just a technical halacha, or maybe it's a fundamental distinction between Esrog on one hand and the other branches on the other. It shows us the contrast, it shows us the unique nature that each group has. It could be that in terms of breaking the Dalim up in the group, are they four different groups? Are they one group, or maybe they're two groups, three and one? And that's what I have to develop more now. Yeah. Okay. And therefore, I think there's enough of a reason, to tell you otherwise as well, there's enough of a reason to believe that there are two different groups, one of the Gimel Minin and one of Esrog. Again, the Gemara we quoted earlier on, Vamir Rabba, Lula be a Midrash of small my time up. Because these are three and those are one. The whole assumption of the question is that it starts off in two different hands. Again, two different hands, egghead versus not egghead, the type of branches versus the fruit, the pasuk, this would be enough to indicate that there are two different groups. And the question is, what does this all mean? Why are the two different groups? What's the goal of having two different groups?
why not just make it one group? If there are different groups, how do you classify this from besides branches and this one to be fruit? But like, what's the, why did I punish Baruch Hu? In his infinite wisdom, one obviously can't understand the depth of this, and some of them start scratching the surface. As best you can, why create this category? Yeah.
Based on that, would you have, or is that thing that you're putting together?
I mean, the answer is, there definitely are. Even if you have these two groups, there definitely is a common sense of combining them to keep them separate. It's like a dream. Some guy had a dream, you and Italian, from the last day was separate, but that's what together, and then we're supposed to be separate together. This is like the house called before, that definitely has not pointed out a dream like that. In any event, the goal is, apparently there's a linkage of the Dalamina, but a separation of them. And by the way, if you look at the order of the Mishnahites, just look at the first five missions in the Perek. What's the first mission about? I'm Chafkes on the Beis, rather. What's the first one about? Lula. What's the second one about? I'm Daf Lamed Beis, on the Beis? No? Hadaf. What's the third one on Lamed Gimel about? Aravo. What's the fourth one about? Not Eshel. It's about Eged. And what's the fifth one about? Eshel. You know what the point is? The first three are separated by physically the agate as well as structurally and textually the agate as well. It's a beautiful order of Mishnahis, no? Lulav, Hadas, Arava, Break. What's the break? The agate Mishnah. That's exactly the right Mishnah. Don't come with the break, then you have Esra. Further the structure, and just one more small little textual QC point. What's the order of the Pesukim again? Esrog, Lulav Hadas Arava, what's the word of the Mishnahis? Lulav Hadas Arava, Esrog. It's almost as if the Mishnahis, did they keep the order or not? The answer is, well, a little bit of both. The puppet was 1, 2, 3, 4, they kept it 2, 3, 4, but put 1 at the end. What are they playing? Did they take Latin game? What's going on here? Like, what are they trying to do over here? So, let's try to understand a little bit the nature of these two groups. The nature of the leaves versus the fruit, and figure out exactly what's going on. I want to share with you an idea that is a big episode in Dao meaning. I think the salvation was developed, one of them, at least, not the only one, developed it in a beautifully profound way. Could be others as well, but for the salvation came a lot. The Mishnah back on Lulav HaGadol says, Lulav HaGadol HaYav Eshel Pasol. So why is Lulav HaGadol Pasol, Lachem, Mishalachem, Mishabah Madeira, maybe both? Okay. Why is Yav Eshel Pasol? That's not so clear either. Rashi on the Mishnah, famous Rashi said, because? Because exactly, Create other, that's how we have to write after this. The question of create other said a special dinner, which right not other. The Yushalmi has to make different in accordance with the back of the Gemara. Forget the fact, it's the right, maybe the Balamara quote, the Quran, I don't know. They quote Yushalmi the back, the Rishonim the back there. If I'm not mistaken, it's two of the three I just mentioned. I think it's the right and the round, but I think the Balamara, not sure. The Rishonim the back, quoting Yushalmi, the Yushalmi has a different source. Why do they have to do good, which is?
It's like
it's dead, right? Correct. But it says, dead things can't praise God. If Salvation said, well, if that's what not, then why is it dead? Why is it dead? You don't tell me that. But then how is it going to happen? Point number one. Number two, this is my salvation. The Mishnah, the discussion in Tosfos on that, the Lamed Ches, how are you supposed to lift up a lula? Classically speaking, you're supposed to put the mitzvah in your hand and then make the bracha a mitzvah. You put a shofar in your hand, you make a mitzvah, you blow. You put matzah in your hand, you make a mitzvah, you make a bracha, and you eat. Why? Because you don't want it to be, you want it to be the mitzvah, you want the mitzvah to be over la'asiyas, and you don't want it to be too soon, too late, you want it to be over the over, you want it to be over la'asiyas, and just before you do it. You would make the bracha, then go to shul and lift it up. That's far too much in the game. You would put the mitzvah down when you're done with it, make the bracha. So he says, you run into a problem, but with what mitzvah? Lula. Because you're supposed to put it in your hand before you make the bracha, however, except the mitzvah, lula is putting it into your hand. What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to do it? It's supposed to be just before you do it. How are you supposed to do it? It's not a suggestion. Yeah.
Tosis, and what we do is we put the eshrog upside down. If any of the medium or not, it's called derech gidilasa. It's not the way they grow. You're not yotzeh. You put the eshrog upside down. You're not yotzeh. This way, the chevkah mitzvah is in your hand. You make the bracha. You put the eshrog right side up, and you're yotzeh the mitzvah right away. Great. Tosis has another shot, which is the second day of hang out seven. He says you put the eshrog upside down. As long as the eshrog is upside down, you're not yotzeh the mitzvah.
Right. It's not the main
word. Right. Happy derech gidilasa. I guess outward is the way to go. From the root out is the way to go.
We are going to remove
the Then Tosis has a second heresy. Tosis says, okay, that's one heresy. The second heresy Tosis suggests is that maybe you lift up only a lulav and the egg yet along with it. You lift the lulav and the eshrog. You don't even lift up an eshrog at all. Then you take the bracha and lift up the eshrog afterwards. That's exactly why Tosis suggests that. The first one done upside down is a worthwhile question. What's wrong with the first one? Answer being upside down. It's just another suggestion that we disagree with the person, I don't know. But again, it's an interesting observation. What do you hold? You hold three medium in one hand, not the eshrog. Is that just a technical thing that you gotta, you don't want to hold all four of them, so leave the eshrog down? Or if it's after the eshrog that was down, because somehow the chevkah mitzvah is more, I don't know exactly the term was split, I wonder. If it's just a technical thing that you could hold all three medium, just put the hadassim in last, that's just like too much of a fuss. So therefore, said, put the eshrog, don't pick up the eshrog. Or is it something fundamental about eshrog? And I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what that. Not those two answers. That's what's that. The third answer, which is you have negative kavanah. As long as you have kavanah that you're not yotzei, that's okay. If I have kavanah to not be yotzei, you can't get the first question. You can't be yotzei balbara. Then you can't force it to be yotzei mitzvah. Is that true by all mitzvahs? I'm not sure. Is it true according to everyone? It's not so pasha. There's the mitzvah and the shekhet, the rashana, that comes that teaches the otherwise. There are other days in Tosis that the nature of the diet can make it otherwise, but it could be your force, you know, that it could be you are yotzei, even if you have intention, not just part of intention, but negative intention, yotzei against your will. That's a machlokes we've shown. The svar would be, how do you define mitzvah's lav shrichas kavanah? The machlokes, if you hold mitzvah's shrichas kavanah or not, mitzvah's shrichas kavanah means, l'chora, you need kavanah, some level. Exactly what level of unclear. Mitzvah's lav shrichas kavanah means, either you don't need kavanah, hard is good enough, or we don't care about kavanah, in which case, even if you have negative kavanah, potentially you'd be yotzei against your will. Okay, so that's Tosis's third day, and that's also the way the monk is showing. Then the fourth day, Tosis says, is that you're not yotzei the mitzvah until you get to the nanuim, which takes place later on in Hala. The nanuim, the shaking of it. So the Salvechik said, what's going on there? Why are you not yotzei the mitzvah until later on? The Salvechik said, I'm believing you, so he developed it further. Like now. As I mentioned, said, certain mitzvahs have two dimensions to them. There's trevim. There's several kiyumim. For example, you say Kriyat Shema in the morning, you get the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. You get the mitzvah of Kabbalah Shema Chut Shema. You get the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The triple whammy, one may call it. Zechus Mitzrayim, for example. Yeah, there's all sorts of mitzvahs you're doing. It could be Kabbalah Shema Chut Shema, you get the mitzvah of different parts of Kriyat Shema.
Yeah.
But
when
you say the first pasuk, yeah, you're yotzei Talmud Torah, Kabbalah Mitzvah, Kol Shana. You say later on, you're yotzei Zichus Mitzrayim as well as maybe Avos Hashem. In other words, you're yotzei Talmud Torah and Avos Hashem later on. You're yotzei Talmud Torah as well as Kriyat Shema as well as Zichus Mitzrayim later on. Well, every pasuk you need is Talmud Torah. You might not have to. But there's a good chance you're okay anyway. It could be a negative kavanah there, it could be a nice, okay, it's a good discussion. You know, it comes up a lot. Like, slichot, it comes up as a directory card beforehand, they're all the same. Okay. So the Salvation goes and develops a concept like, by shofar. Shofar has two dimensions that he discussed before in the previous year. Shofar is a mitzvah, he has shofar or shemir, whichever one it is. And additionally, there's a second whole element to it, which is, it's a mitzvah tefillah. It's crazy, it's a tefillah fashion, it's a prayer. Salvation said, that's why the Gemara means it. The Gemara said, the reason why we have a shofar bent is because we're bent, we pray. It's a connection. That's good for the connection. Salvation said further also, why are you allowed to blow shofar in the middle of Shemon Esrei? Sephardim blow it in the quiet Shemon Esrei. Ashkenazim blow it in the Chazar Sashat, but you would never lift up a little in the middle of Chazar Sashat. You'd never eat matzah in the middle of Chazar Sashat to be a hefsek. Why is it not a hefsek? Because it's a hefsek tefillah. Shofar has a din of tefillah. Shofar has a component of tefillah to it. The Salvechik said, lulav may also have two components, a simple component of the mitzvah, says he, lifting up the lulav, picking up the lulav, the standard mitzvah of lulav, the Dalit Minyan. And there's a second dimension, there's a whole other aspect, there's a whole other element to it, which is that a lulav not only is lifted, it also sings praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sings to Hashem, the lulav praises Hashem. Salvechik said, that's the case, I understand what the Yerushalmi means. Lo hamesim yahalukah, dead things can't praise God. If the lulav is dry, it's dead. Why is that relevant? Because you need something alive to praise God, because the lulav has to praise God. The lulav has to sing Shir LaShavach, or Kadosh Baruch Hu, the lulav has to sing God's praise. So they say that they will toast to me on Lavatas as well. The reason why you can still make a bracha either after you lifted it up is because you've not fulfilled the mitzvah, you've not completed it rather. There's no Gemara mitzvah, you're not done with it. It's not totally completed until you sing Shir LaShavach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Nanuin, maybe even during Halakh, but with the Nanuin. In other words, part of the Nanuin is singing praise to God. That's intrinsic, inherent part of the mitzvah. That's the case. So that's why you can make the bracha until later on. The Salvation said, just see from here, that lulav hasn't been tefillah to it. The Salvation said further, the Gemara on Lama Zayin and Beis actually writes, what's the reason that the bracha on tefillah is lulav? Ma tam. I'm the Rav Yirmiyahu the Rav Zrika. Ma tam lo mevarchim ela al tefillah is lulav. Why do you make al tefillah is lulav? Why not the other meaning as well? Says the Gemara. Amar lei ha'ol v'mino. Sorry, I'm a ha'ol v'gavoh mikula. It's the highest one. The Gemara asks, l'gavil eshrag is the ulu barach. Slips of eshrag higher and make a bracha on that. The Gemara answers, amar lei. It's the biggest of the mean. So they just don't care. It's bigger. Since when is bigger like better? You buy nicer tefillin, bigger tefillin. But is there a value in having bigger, you know, I don't know what. Bigger, a bigger piece of matzah? Maybe you have to have bigger matzah. Bigger esrog? Is there a have a bigger meat? Like, what is that?
It's arguing for the encouraging model.
So the Salvechik suggested this means why is it in terms of the chepta mitzvah irrelevant in terms of singing shir to Hashem with the bracha? You're shaking the biggest one. It shakes the loudest. It's the head of the choir. It leads the guy who does the conductor of the choir. He's the lead. He's the head singer. He's the star. That's what the Gemara means over there. But take it one step further. The Salvechik said there's an important Ramban. Ramban wants to know why is it that certain mitzvahs he say mitzvahs and seisha. Mitzvah Baba Vera. The Gemara writes, the Gemara is a case of matzah, where I think, look at the Gemara. The Gemara is in Ramban. It's not stolen matzah. It's matzah made from like bad grain. It's not just heather, I think. That's what it is. Remember? You know the Ramban?
Yeah, I know the case. I don't remember.
I think it's made matzah with heather, but Gemara is not just matzah. It's special. It's not teaching me it's no good. So the Ramban asks, you're all Mishra Ramban. Why not say Mitzvah Baba Vera? The Sham is shown, and I'm speaking post with another say, I'll tell you why, because Mitzvah Baba Avir is only the Rabbanan principle. The Darais is kosher, but it's part of the Rabbanan. Hevel, that's turned into Matzah, is already not kosher even Darais. That's why you put a pasuk. You know, you could have said Mitzvah Baba Avir, but you have a better answer, which is Darais. The Ramban gives a different answer. Another Ramban's answer, though. Ramban says we only apply the principle of mitzvah above ba'avera to mitzvahs that sing praise to God, that are mahalul and bah. For example, karban and lulav. I think the Ritzvah has a different lashon called the mitzvahs of ritzoy, things that appease God. But lechor, these are all under the same line of reasoning, that a lulav, maybe karbanis as well, another indication that karbanis as well, maybe we'll talk about that, but at least a lulav sings shir la'shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who praise Hashem. That's the second dimension. There's a sheep that has quotes, and the name, I think the pronounce is called the Harkiti, I have no idea who he is yet. I think he's a Makubo. He is an unbelievable sheep. You know what a sheep is? When you do the Nanuin, you only have to do the Nanuin for 3 to 4 meters. Which three? Lulav, Adas, and Araba. What's the Pshat? So I thought maybe the Pshat was, maybe one could suggest all four mitzvos. There's a mitzvah lekicha for. But only the three leaves, only by the three branches is there a mitzvah of singing praise to Hashem. This whole other second dimension of singing Shir LaShem to HaKadosh Baruch Hu That's talking about only what? According to Shimon's passport, the Harkiti, whatever his name is, that's only the Gimel. In other words, you can put your Esrog down, and you do not know him, you only have to do three things. It could be that the Dalet Minim is a Din in. Dalet Minim, Hagbah, you know, Netilas Lulav, the Lekicha, the Netilah. But the Shir HaShavach is after the three branches. Where does this come from? Maybe the Svar is going to make noise, maybe. Then if it's sharp as far, what's the pasuk that teaches me that I'm supposed to shake the what's it called? That there's a kind of nanum in the first place. What's the pasuk that teaches me the principle of shaking the dalamin in the first place? What does Yirana do? Atzel Yar. You know what does Yirana do? Dafka the Atzel Yar. Dafka Peros. It could be the three branches, the lula, the arava, and the adash, which are Atzel. And it's dafka those which are Yiraninu. And it could be push it in the pasuk, lap on the pasuk, you learn this din. If that's the case, what was Rashi bothered by? Watch a few pasuks. What was the pasuk talking about? Lakashtem lakem. The lakashtem, you know what you mentioned first? Esrog, and then the whole group. Maybe Rashi said in the Tosis, I think the Tosis Yanchit. Tosfos Yavam makes the point of Beirush that the Mishnah switched the order. Why? Because the Mishnah wasn't talking about only the Lakachten part, it was talking about the Simcha part, the Shir LaShevach part, the part that sings, that's Yiranu, the part that Mahalil at Hashem. If that's the case, what do we mention first? The Lulav, the Hadas, the Arav, a pause with the Eged, and therefore mention last, Esrog. If that's all correct, Rashi was bothered with, you know what sings praise to Hashem? Not the Esrog, only the Lulav Hadas and Arava, and specifically when it's together. And Rashi's like, well, why are the Hadas and Arava not here? And the answer is, it comes up later on. Whether that's technical or fundamental reasons, we discussed already. But the Chorah, it's because Esrog falls into a different camp, falls into a category of its own. That's something.